This is Lori Prox here with Dr. Kathleen Todd of Valdez Medical Clinic and also a emergency doc and regular doctor at Providence Valdez Medical Center. Thanks for joining us once again. Kathy, I look back and our last interview was the 30th since the pandemic began.
Wow. It's a long time.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on and sharing information about what's going on in the medical field and specifically here in Valdez. I think that's been amazing. And the hot topic right now is vaccines. So let's go there. We talked last time and you had just attended a meeting about the vaccine and what it would entail, but you have some new information about how it will get to Valdez and looks like you said we might get more vaccines than we first anticipated.
Well, that was the headline in the newspaper yesterday that I guess they were expecting something like 10,000 doses right off the bat, and they're going to get 35,000 doses right off the bat. So, you know, they were in the process of deciding which nurses at Big Prov were going to, at Providence Alaska Medical Center in Anchorage, were going to get it. How much did you meet the public? And now they're probably going to be able to do all the healthcare professionals that meet patients and also more of the nursing home population. People may say, oh, why are we doing nursing homes? But that's where you get some of the people that are the sickest and that take up the most resources. So if you can get those people to not get it at the Pioneer Home or whatever, then you free up a lot of beds. You know, somebody who might have been on a respirator for 20 days doesn't get it, and then you can have 10 people be on it for 2 days. and that will be very useful to try to alleviate the shortage of healthcare personnel.
And Kathy, we have long-term care at the hospital here in Valdez. I forget how many beds, around
10 beds.
And then we also have Valdez Senior Center. So how do those fit into this plan?
Well, I think officially it's long-term care, so it would be the 10 beds of long-term care. One of the reasons that they're doing people in centers first is that they're much more likely to catch it from each other because the caregivers go from one to the other. So the senior center isn't quite as high a risk because of, they take care of themselves or their families or whatever, but they don't have caregivers going from one room to the other. So they are not on the short list, but then everybody over 65 is on a list soon to come. And so this vaccine comes in batches that have to be stored at way low temperature. You have to have a special freezer. Valdez's has arrived. So, and it may come in, you know, it's like the giant package of meat from the grocery store. If you get the family pack, you've got to thaw the whole thing. And so we will have to figure out how to get exactly the right number of people for a batch that we thaw.
And so for Valdez, we have, you know, if we get a big number of those, once you get that vaccine, what is the timeline for the next dose and then maybe for the next round? From what I'm reading, it looks like that next round of people might be quite a ways off.
Well, in the country, they're sending out these packages of vaccine once a week. In Alaska, they're sending it to us once a month because it's such a big package. And so that remains to be determined exactly how that's going to be done. At least I don't know what the details of that are. But they want people to get a vaccine and then another one, depending on which brand we get. One brand is 21 days later, brand is 28 days later. And they haven't tested whether it works at 15 or what happens if you get it 2 months later. So they really want people to not do this if they're going to be unavailable, a month later, then don't get the vaccine that has to be a month later. So some people are going to miss it the first time around. Some people will know they're going to miss it the second time around or so are not going to do it right then. But just because the federal network sends us something once a month, that doesn't mean there's going to be something come out from the state only once a month. They're going to keep it in giant refrigerators or giant special freezers in Anchorage. And there may be some push and pull between who's got the really fancy freezers like Valdez and who doesn't have a fancy freezer and so has to get the whole pile lined up within 5 days of when they ship it from Anchorage, and how much dry ice do you have, and what temperature is in Nome today anyway, you know, that kind of thing. So,
well, how are the communities working together? So, like, if Glen Ellen or Cordova don't have that fancy freezer, is there coordination, and who's doing that behind the scenes here in Alaska? Is it the Unified Command Group?
It's the State Health Department, and I'm sorry, I don't know the exact organization, but they've been working on it for a long time. All those point of dispensing drills that Valdez has done with how many people can we give a flu shot in one day, we've been doing that for years, and so have people all over the country. I will say that also, I should say that there's a separate plan for more doses for the Native health system, and so the tribal health people may have another separate plan for the little villages and that sort of thing.
Any word on outlying areas from Valdez, Cordova, Glen Ellen? How do they fit into the picture?
Nothing beyond the speculation I knew before. That's one of the reasons Valdez got a freezer and then volunteered to the state, and they said thank you very much to say, hey, if you need to ship stuff to here, and then we can thaw something and send it to Glen Ellen, and they can use it the same day.
And if I'm not mistaken, you've actually sent the health crews. It's not really a health crew, but I think you've done trips to Cordova, different places with a crew of folks with healthcare supplies, right? Or doing the flu shot before? Is that?
You know, I don't know that. I'm sorry, I can't speak to that.
All right, or maybe I'm thinking, I know Alyeska's involved in kind of like different
well,
outreaches there.
I know the public health nurses have covered Tillich and Geneva that before, and I don't, but I'm sorry, I don't know enough about it to comment.
All right, but I think some interaction we've had with those communities before, our friends over there in both Glen Ellen and Cordova, so, and even up the road, I guess, a lot of little places out and about and around. So keeping that, they're going to definitely probably need to go to some bigger areas to get the vaccine, it looks like.
Well, I'm told that at least one of these vaccines, and see that, you know, the state may say, oh boy, this is a super cold vaccine, it has to go to some place that has that super cold freezer. And the Moderna one doesn't have to be quite so super cold. And so they may save that one to go to some community that doesn't have that. I'm told that you've got 5 days after it leaves the freezer, even on dry ice, you've got 5 days to do it. You've got several hours after it leaves the freezer and it's thawed. You have to keep it in a refrigerator and only bring out the one that you're going to give. It's tricky, but it can be done in Alaska.
And doctors and nurses have to schedule time here, because I think you'll probably need all hands on deck to make this happen here in Valdez. Is there a tentative timeline at this point?
Well, I don't. They are having us all sign up for, you know, who's interested, and then there's going to be a, you know, and what time do you, what specific time do you want to come? When we know exactly when it's going to get here. They're supposed to be ready to do it on the 14th, but that may be overly optimistic.
Of December, like in 5 days.
Yeah, like next Monday, yeah, supposedly.
Yeah, so but that takes some gearing up, right, on your end here. I mean, you guys have had to do a lot of gearing up and working hard and lots of hours and then quarantining and being short-staffed, you know, all those things everyone's dealing with. But with this, you're going to have to be ready on short notice then to make this happen.
Right, exactly. And, you know, if we just need to give everybody who's in town a vaccine in one day, that could be easily done. We test the whole medical staff, whole nursing staff, once a week for COVID now, and they can get that all done in a couple hours. You know, that's not, physically giving it isn't the problem. It's distributing it and making sure that those people are going to be around 21 days later, you know, all that sort of stuff. That's the rub.
Well, and the tougher thing might be at the, I don't know what level this is, but then you read the Teachers Association is imploring that they get the vaccine. Firefighters are imploring they want the vaccine. Police departments are not. In fact, I think there was some survey out saying half of them didn't want it. I know, you know, the Broadcast Association is saying, you know, the frontline folks should get it. So how does that play in that could potentially make this very political?
Right. And as I say, I think that it's going to be a little bit tricky because people are going to say, but how come firefighters in, you know, Podunk, Alaska got it and the firefighters in New York City didn't? Well, it's because it will be because if that happens, it's going to be because we had 20 doses and we had to thaw them all because that's how it comes. And we only had 18 nurses and we had two more doses. And so we didn't want to waste them. We gave them to, you know, the next tear down, whatever that is at the moment. And so, you know, everybody hopes that everybody gets it that wants it very quickly. One thing I was pointing out to some people the other day who are wanting to get the vaccine but saying, gosh, you know, is it really safe? Is that by the time this guy that was asking me was 50 and with no other, you know, health problems or whatever, and I said, by the time you get it, we will have had millions of people get this vaccine. Right now it's, you know, several thousand people in Europe and several thousand people in, you know, tens of thousands of people in the United States, and so far so good. Plus we have the fact that they started developing this kind of vaccine 10 years ago for SARS-1. It turns out we didn't need it for SARS-1, but it's not like it's totally new technology. It's new for this virus, but it's not totally new technology. So, but what's going to happen is that I'm going to be in phase 4. You know, we say that phase 3 trials are finished, and I really want to get this vaccine. I know what the disease looks like, and I don't know what the vaccine looks like in 10 years, but I know what the disease looks like for somebody, you know, my age and my exposure level, and I don't want to do it. So I'm willing to be in phase 4, and so by the time that this 50-year-old healthy person gets it, we will have lots of data from millions of people having gotten the vaccine. We won't have the 10-year data, that's true, but we will have a lot of data otherwise from people who kind of were in the front lines and volunteered to be in the next wave. And they're going to do an interesting thing. They're going to have an app that you can download when you get the vaccine if you want to and be able to report directly. Usually if you have a vaccine reaction, you tell your doctor about it, and we tell the CDC about it, and then they count all those up. But you know, who tells a doctor about how sore their arm was the next day, or yeah, they had a fever the next day, or what? You know, the little stuff doesn't get out there. It does in the trials, but it doesn't get out there usually once it gets out to the public. But this time, they're going to let people report that directly if they'd like. So we will have a lot of data as to how long should you plan to maybe have to be off work because you just feel so achy. People don't get the flu from flu vaccine, but some people get achy and as if they had a minor case of the flu, which is not the flu. It's your immune system being revved up to fight off the vaccine, and that means that it's taking really well, that you really got a good response out of the vaccine. I worry about myself sometimes because I don't do that after vaccines, but that's going to happen with this vaccine with some number of people, and we think we know what that percentage is, but we will know it way better by the time that 20 million healthcare workers and long-term care residents have gotten it. 20 million, not, you know, 100,000. So
as an aside, I read that app was actually designed for a different purpose. And so it wasn't specifically, I don't know if that makes people feel better, but it was a different medical purpose. And so they were able to just say, oh, hey, we could use this for the side effect symptoms that this app that's already in place. I think it's for the public health system. So for another purpose, but now they're kind of repurposing it. So it's not something that's just been developed, if that makes a difference for folks out there. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, so back full circle to Valdez here, we'll have the first round, but it sounds like it might be more than you thought. So maybe folks who are thinking, hey, there's no way I'll be in that first round might have the option. But then when are you thinking second round? Or are they not even able to process that yet?
I don't think they're speculating, but as I say, we got word yesterday that they're going to get their vaccine in monthly batches, not weekly batches, just because of the transportation difficulties and the size of the batches.
And are they going to keep an eye on this first round first before new people get it? Or is that a function of the production? They just can't, they can't produce
enough. It's production.
Enough. Yeah.
It's production. And which vaccine we get, as I say, will have to do with production and with when they get officially approved, which I think they're very close, but the one that was just approved in England that they've already started giving, is the same company and essentially the same vaccine, as I understand. So the Brits are a week or two ahead of us. But assuming that the FDA approves this vaccine, they have that much ready to go.
And it seems like they've set a timeline that they're just not going to backtrack on for data and watching for X amount of days before they say, okay, we're willing to let this fly in our market, right?
What are you saying?
I think, there are always people out there, why don't we get it sooner? How can they got it first? And from my understanding, they are really going to make sure the trials end at the appropriate date before starting. Is that?
Well, they're analyzing. You can't just take the company's word for it. That's not allowed. The FDA has to look at the data, make sure that it says what the company says that it says. We've got another multiple sets of eyes from all kinds of points of view looking at the company's data to make sure that they didn't do something either inadvertently or advertently, if there is such a word, to make sure that it's really true. The British government thinks that the Pfizer vaccine there has passed the test, and our FDA is on the verge of approving both the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine. And there are other companies that are not quite so far along, but may come up with something great also. And then you can have factories making all of these doses and just keep churning it out after that. No, they're not going to wait saying, oh, let's see how the healthcare workers do. Oh, let's wait and see how the firefighters do. Let's see how the long-term care people do. If something is discovered during giving it to, all of those people, then certainly things will stop, get altered, whatever. But in general, they want to get it all approved before they even start.
And it is not as flexible as you would. I mean, I think it's, oh, this doesn't work. I want to choose this certain vaccine. It is, it's kind of a cat and mouse game on the distribution side, because this has to be ordered before it's made. And then, months ahead of time. So, a lot of these contracts.
Well, I don't think we're going to have an ordering problem here, because I think it really is going to get, at least in Alaska, it's going to get coordinated by the state, and it's going to be, just give us some, and it's going to be a shortage of vaccine rather than a shortage of people. Oh, don't send us any because we don't have anybody left that wants to get it. That's not going to happen for a while. The federal government's idea is to put this in private hands eventually, so you could just go down to your, they say, local Walgreens or CVS and get a vaccine by, May or June. And it won't be a big scramble of how many people can we do in one day driving through in their cars. And that is the way it'll eventually end up, hopefully not via only Walgreens and CVS. That makes it a little hard for people in Alaska. And it will still need, if it's still these vaccines, it'll still need these fancy freezers, which, Safeway Valdez can't possibly do. Chivac can't do. So there's always going to be a little bit different here than it is in New York City, where they've got a commercial pharmacy
like
on every
salmon.
Corner.
Yeah. My vaccine smells
but
like salmon.
At that
salmon.
Point, it may be that CVS has Moderna and Walgreens has Pfizer, and someplace else has another one, and you could pick and choose by then.
And have you learned any more on the after effects? You mentioned it after getting the shot. I know there is some concern that there might be some symptoms after receiving the vaccine, which is causing some concern that folks will not return and get their second vaccine. I guess I saw a number somewhere, 30% of people who get, I don't know, there's a certain vaccine that is a little bit painful, and sometimes folks don't come back. So any more word on that? On the side effects?
The side effects, they have good numbers on the side effects. What I have not found, I'm sure it exists, but I don't know it myself, is if you say, well, 7% of the people are tired and 3% are really tired and 8% of the people have joint aches, and I'm giving you vague numbers. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but 8% of the people have joint aches and 7% of the people have muscle aches. Are those all the same people, or is it 7% with muscle aches and a different 7% with joint aches? So how many people does it add up to that have more than a sore arm? And I know that people with the shingles vaccine, quite a few people get a very sore arm from that one compared to a regular vaccine, but I don't think we've had that much trouble with talking people into getting the second one. And this one, you know, it will be, we'll just have to wait and see what people think, but you really are committing to two of them. This virus, one of the problems with this virus is that it doesn't seem to generate good immunity that lasts for a long time, unfortunately, and when you have the disease. So it will be really important to get the booster, because a lot of times just one shot doesn't really do what you need it to do.
Are they classifying folks who've maybe had COVID before as a different category? I know the jury's still out whether it seems like small numbers who've had COVID get it again, but does that play into the vaccine?
I think that's still up in the air as far as I know. I know when Providence was registering, you know, who wants to get this vaccine? One of the questions they asked was, have you already had COVID? And then they had a little, you know, asterisk there saying, this doesn't necessarily, answering this yes doesn't necessarily preclude you from getting the vaccine. So that means to me they haven't decided yet.
All right. Any other word? I know our schools are still chugging along for folks who don't have kids in schools. We do have in-person school. At this point, everyone's back at school. I think the number of cases some is 5 or 6 right now.
May be higher than that now. I personally talked to 3 people yesterday, so it may be higher than that.
Might be going up and down. And the decision for folks who haven't caught it is made by school officials, medical officials, a team that kind of considers who those cases are, and you know, obviously a case in the schools merits a little more action than a community case. So any different plans there, or just kind of status quo as long as we can keep on?
I think it's the same plan. I've seen people do really perfectly in terms of exposures and whatever. As somebody who, you know, came back from a very small family gathering, which actually got canceled because the people the people in Anchorage they were visiting got symptomatic, and the whole family separated from each other. When they came back to Valdez, they did not send their child back to school, and sure enough, the people in Anchorage were positive, and then sure enough, one of the family members here turned positive, but they hadn't been at school or at work while they were waiting for their test results of the first the people in Anchorage and then the people here, and perfect. You know, they didn't expose the whole school to the kid who wasn't symptomatic because they knew that they'd been exposed to somebody who had all the classic symptoms. And that's the way it ought to work, so that we don't end up with big quarantines at the school.
And
I really appreciate it when people do that.
Well, throughout this thing, accurately. I think there's been a lot of folks saying, you know, people just don't understand. People just don't understand. But are you seeing that people, you know, there's been nine months later, then there's kind of a call, hey, you know, the public can play a role in this and be proactive themselves. And I think I think that was starting to happen before, but are you seeing that people are understanding now quarantine and isolation and these concepts a little better 9 months down the road and following the rules, or was that an exception?
No, I think that there are more and more people like that. It's not an exception, thank goodness, because Anchorage and Kenai and Matsu will, if you are a positive test, they will say, will you please call all your contacts and tell them how to quarantine? That's how many public health people they have, as in none. Valdez still has Terry being very active and talking to these people, but we don't, you know, we're lucky because the other places are overwhelmed, as are the hospitals, by the way. But I do still hear people not understanding. I don't think the CDC helps necessarily with their new guideline for, wait a minute, quarantine is not 14 days now, it's 7 days with a test, and it's not 10 days. And it's, you know, I think that new guideline, which I'll be glad to go over, confused a lot of people. But what they're trying to do is to get people to really quarantine when they're in quarantine. Quarantine doesn't mean, I'll just go to an outdoor restaurant and to church. No, quarantine means that you stay home. You don't even have interaction with your family. Easy to do with a teenager, but not with a 2-year-old. You really are away from everything. People will bring you your groceries if you're in quarantine. Please stay home. And they're finding people all over the country that are not doing that. And they, you know, oh, I have to go to work, so I'm going to lie and say that I wasn't around this person. And so what they did was shorten it in the process. Know that they're going to miss some people that way.
They're playing the odds is really what they're doing. They're playing the odds. The percentage of people who get it after that time period is smaller. So I think that's fair to say, right?
Yeah, and in places, you know, there's some places in the country right at the moment, not Valdez, but there's some places in the country at the moment that if you just walk down the street, every 10th person has COVID. So if you only quarantine people until only every 10th person is still contagious, that's as good as you're going to do with just the general public if you're a non-infected person. So, okay, what's the difference? Valdez is not to that point yet, thank goodness. So it seems a little bit cavalier to change from 14 days to 10 days. But what they're hoping is that if you do 7 days with a test or 10 days without a test instead of 14 days, that you will really do it. You know, really doing it for 7 days and a test would be better than not doing it for 14 days is what they're saying. So, you know, if you're in Valdez, you have a chance to actually leave your house and get some exercise and not go stir crazy, but be totally away from people. 14 days is still appropriate. We have been told that we can do those tests at 7 days so that you could potentially go back to work at 7 days if your employer will allow you to. We can do those tests. We do not have the most sensitive tests available to do that. So we're taking a little bit more risk doing that. But if you're, and then you're still supposed to just watch like a hawk the whole time for symptoms. We want the whole population doing that in Alaska. If you have any symptoms, we would be happy to test you. But there are places where people don't have the idea yet of just do it, just test. And so they're specifically telling those people, okay, 7 days with a test. And if you get symptoms in the second week when you really should have been in quarantine, make sure you get a test. We would just like you to do that, period. So.
Yeah, and I, you know, a lot of times we throw out the idea of you know, running to the store or whatever, but I do think the issue of work and, you know, for a lot of folks, being out of work is quite a thing. It's quite a thing. And really affecting people's livelihoods. So, you know, and I know some folks are looking at, you know, second and third and fourth quarantine. I know some folks in Anchorage and their family's been affected, you know, on several different sides, and it's required a lot of time at home. And thank goodness they're in positions that they can do that. But not everyone is. So
not everybody is. And so, you know, if really do quarantine for 7 days and really watch yourself for the next. And get a test, and don't go back until you got the test result back. They're hoping that people can do that, and that results in in about the same, in only a little bit less chance of being contagious than waiting the whole 14 days.
New rule, and then with people traveling a little about more probably for the holidays here, I think when you get a test is a really important factor, because you don't want to test, you know, if you think you might be around somebody the day after. You want to wait, right? So optimal time if you've gone somewhere is 5 to 7 days still to be tested, and
yes, 5 to 7 days from your, maybe 4 to 6, but because you get contagious before you come up with symptoms. But 5 to 7 days would be a great time to test from your exposure. So, for instance, you're supposed to get tested, if you can, before you get on the plane to come to Alaska. If you're an Alaskan, you can get a test in the airport if you couldn't get one before you came. So that takes care of, you know, did you get sick from being in Chicago in the first place? But then there's the airports and the airplanes. And so then getting another test 5 to 7 days after that takes care of your exposure on the, you know, getting to Alaska.
All right. Any other topics to cover? We've done a lot on vaccines. I think next week will be a pretty interesting interview. And of course, if there's information about the vaccine and it coming to Valdez, you mentioned earlier in this interview that they're talking about in less than a week having the vaccine to Alaska. So hopefully we'll keep appraised of that. And I'm sure new details will emerge as that seems to be 24-hour a day thing discussion right now here.
We'll try to keep people up to date as we actually know something. And if people have questions, they could always call any of the physicians at their offices, or Terry, when in between all the other stuff she's supposed to be doing. I'd love to answer questions on the air too.
All right. Well, so I should open that up as well. If people do have questions, they can send them to valdeznews@gmail.com, and maybe we can field some of those questions, because I'm sure if one person has a question, then others do out there. So if people have questions for Kathy next Wednesday, send them, of course, prior to Wednesday morning to valdeznews@gmail.com. And of course, if anything comes up between now and then that you want to chat about with our public, let us know, and we'll share the info out there with people. Thanks for coming on, Kathy.
Thank you very much, Lori.